Good evening. Just going to move back a little bit so I've got a little bit more room to run. My name is Ryan, and I am an introvert. Praise God, I married an extrovert, or else I would never do anything with people. You think it's funny, but it's true. One of the things that I really enjoy about being an introvert is that I love to read. I mean, honestly, you don't have to be an introvert to love to read, but it helps. And so I read a lot. I love to read. It's one of the ways I decompress. I love to gather and collect information. And so I'll read anything and everything. In fact, when I was living in the States, I would routinely go to the bookstore and spend a large portion of my day just sitting there reading things that I would never buy. I would read them, and I'd be like, that's an interesting book, and then I would put it back on the shelf. I love to collect information, but I think that there's something about information that we enjoy having, and as an introvert, I love to have all kinds of information at hand to access when I feel unsafe in a large crowd of people. You know, like at a party or a friend's house of people I don't know, I feel like I gotta bring something to the table because I'm nervous, I'm scared. In fact, like if this was a funeral, I'd rather be the guy who was dead than the guy who was talking. It's just part of life, right? But I think for some of us, we enjoy getting that information, but often it never gets any further than like we know it. Like we know it in our head, but like, and especially for us as Christ followers, people that say, you know what, I want to be all that God wants me to be. I want to be all that God's redeemed me to be. We've got lots of information up in our head, but it's never really made its way down to our heart or even out of our heart and lived out through our lives. And that's really what we're talking about in these weeks is that Jesus has come and he's made these statements. He's made these I am statements. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the good shepherd. I'm the bread of life. He's made all these statements, and we've looked at those. And then now we're looking at these statements of where he said, I have come to. And Shane started us off a couple weeks ago. I have come to reveal the Father. And Daniel last week talked about how Jesus said, I've come to seek and save the lost. And today we're going to look at the Son of Man appeared, or the Son of God appeared, to destroy the work of the devil. And this is one of those things that as I've been thinking about it this week, it's more than just information that we need to know. Like it's information that's got to make its way out of our lives. It's got to go down into our heart and into the extremities of our bodies because we are the light of the world with Jesus in us. We're the hope of the people that we come in contact with. It's Jesus lived out of us. And if we don't make that connection, like if it's just information, like I think it's easy for us to be like, oh yeah, Jesus died. He lived and he died and he rose again. And like that's where the dominoes stop dropping. But I think for us as Christians, the dominoes got to keep dropping. The fruit of the Spirit's got to be exhibited in our lives. We have to keep becoming who God designed us to be. And so that's what I want to talk about this evening. So I just want to quickly pray and then we'll jump into this scripture. Heavenly Father, thanks. God, you are the God who reveals Jesus to us. And I pray tonight that you would continue to do that. That by your Holy Spirit, God, you would continue to renew our minds. God, to reprogram us, God, into the image of Jesus Christ. So that we can continue to make that appeal as your ambassadors. God, that you would be glorified in our lives. God, that as we look at how you have defeated the enemy of our souls, God, I pray that we would see that victory and that we would live and walk in that victory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Okay, so we're looking at these I am statements, and the first one, the first verse I want to look at today is from 1 John 3:8. We're actually going to look at a bit of beforehand, so I think we're going to start in verse 7. 1 John 3, verse 7. Dear children, do not let anyone lead you astray. He who does what is right is righteous, just as he is righteous. He who does what is sinful is of the devil, because the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. It reminds me of that verse in Romans, at just the right time, Christ died for us. At just the right time. Like, he appeared. Like, when I think about that word appeared, I see Jesus standing on the sermon where, like, the Mount of Olives, with his hands on his hips, with a big S on his chest. Like, he's a superhero. He appeared at just the right time. But, like, he did. He appeared to do these things. He appeared to destroy the work of the devil. Well, how did he do that? What did he come to do? Like, he came to destroy the work of the devil. What is the work of the devil? Simply put, it's sin. It's lawlessness. It's death. He came to give us victory over sin in our lives. In John chapter 10, verse 10, we see one of these I have come statements that Jesus makes. He says, the thief comes only to steal, to kill, and destroy. But I have come that they would have life and have life to the full. You see, the devil wants to steal, kill, and destroy us. He is a defeated foe, but he still reaches out from that defeated area, and we give him back some of that authority, and he wants to destroy us with it. The thief wants to steal your joy. When things aren't going our way, how are we responding? Like, when things don't go the way we want them to go or the way that we have envisioned them, our joy is one of the first things that goes. We get angry and we stay angry. Like, the thief is coming to steal our joy. The thief wants to kill our influence. We were looking at a video just this last week where it says statistically there is no difference between how the world operates and how Christians operate. And I know that, like, we can make statistics to say whatever we want them to say, but, like, that's like an indictment of how we live. Like, there's no statistical difference. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He wants to kill our influence. Because as Christians, we have an amazing opportunity to influence those around us for the kingdom of God, for the glory of who Jesus is. Dan spoke really eloquently about that last week, how he's come to seek and to save the lost. I encourage you to download that podcast if you didn't hear it. Because there's never been a time in history where Christians are looked at so distastefully. Like, why is that? We have the hope of glory living in us. We have the image of Christ on us. And yet when we walk into the world, our influence is almost instantaneously gone. And I'll tell you, I have fun with it. Like, I love telling people where I work and then they ask me what I do. And I never tell them I'm a pastor. I work at the Good Life Center. You know, because I know as soon as I say I'm a pastor, they, like, turn around and walk the other way. I wait till the second or third time to drop that bum on them. What do you do again? I play futsal on Thursday nights, basketball on Mondays, and squash on Fridays. And I'm a pastor. Pew! You know? Like, but we have an influence, and God's called us to influence those people around us as followers of Jesus. The thief is looking to steal our joy. He's looking to kill our influence. But most of all, he wants to destroy our life. And he wants to destroy our life by reminding us of all of the destructive sin and habit patterns that we give into. Like, I don't think the devil's hiding under every rock to make us do bad things. But he sure loves to remind us of the destructive, sinful habits that we engage in. And he doesn't ever want us to get to that place where we understand the grace of Jesus. He wants to destroy us. He wants to steal our joy. He wants to kill our influence. And he wants to destroy our life. And when we fall into these destructive habit patterns, he loves to remind us that we are no good, that we are bad. But Jesus destroyed the work of the devil. He appeared as the Son of God, living and dying for our sins and rising again. And then not only that, he invites us into this new life, into a new birth, the Christianese born again. He wants us to have new life. He wants us to become like Jesus. And so God offers us this new life. The thief had come to steal, kill, and destroy, but Jesus said, I've come that they may have life and have life to the full. we must allow God to reconfigure and renew our minds around this simple truth. C.S. Lewis once wrote, "When I asked Jesus to come into my heart, I expected him to put up a picture on the wall and sweep up the place. But instead, he tore down the walls and he rebuilt this heart of mine." For us, I think a lot of times when the dominoes stop with just Jesus died, I asked him into my heart, and someday I'm going to go to heaven, we forget that Jesus wants to come in and do a total overhaul of our life. He wants to do a total overhaul of our heart and our mind and our emotions. He wants to come in and change the way everything looks. He wants to change the way we react to everything. He wants to come in and be that remodeler, because we can't do it on our own. We're never going to be able to have a checklist powerful enough to get us to become the people that Jesus redeemed us to be, because we know from looking at the Old Testament and Romans chapter 7 that that doesn't work. Keeping a list of things that we have to do and not do, it's never worked. We only end up looking at the thing that is going to destroy us over and over again instead of putting our focus on the one who wants to save us. Jesus is the remodeler. He's the one who will do it, not us. So if Jesus is the one who came to destroy this work of the devil, if he came to stop the thief from stealing, killing, and destroying, how do we participate in that? And I think this is where we've got to learn to walk in this, to be this, to become this, each and every day, moment by moment. Because this is that why us question. Why is it us? Like, did we just get saved so someday we could go to heaven and we could sing that old gospel song, "I'll Fly Away"? Like, seriously, it's one of those things where it's like, that's in the future sometime. And I get it. But for us, the dominoes have got to keep dropping. Jesus has got to be constantly conforming us into his image. I think we've got to get past where we've just said a prayer and that's all we've ever had to do or have been a part of in this new relationship. We've got to learn to walk in the light. What does it mean to walk in the light? What does it look like? I think that we've got some unlearning to do. I think we've been conditioned to not believe the gospel, even as Christians. You guys remember that Russian guy Pavlov, who'd ring the bell and the dogs would salivate? Like, anybody know who I'm talking about? Yeah, like, it's a natural response, right? Dogs, when they see food, they salivate. And Pavlov was like, I want to see if I can get them to salivate without the food. And so he does a little experiment, and he's giving them food and ringing a bell and giving them food and ringing a bell and giving them food and ringing a bell. And then one day he takes the food away and rings a bell, and wouldn't you know it, the dogs salivate. I think for us, we've been conditioned. We've been conditioned to listen to the one who hates us instead of listening to the one who loves us. Is anybody here have Instagram? Like, nobody. That's for old people now. You old folks and your Instagram. I started following, like, this is a little bit embarrassing. I started following a couple of food bloggers in Brisbane. And they recently have been going on this binge of eating these amazing burgers at these different places. And so I started a list of places I'm going to try. And like, that list is long and it is distinguished. In fact, I was looking at this Instagram feed the other day, and I'm like on the couch and upstairs, I'm flipping through it, and like, there's orange cheese, you guys. Like, orange cheese is, I haven't seen that in years. Like, orange cheese is where it's at. You guys are like, orange cheese, yuck. It's so good. Just American cheese is amazing. And, I'll pray for you. So I'm looking at this feed of Instagram, you know, I'm flipping through it. My wife's like, what are you doing? I'm like, nothing. No, seriously, what are you doing? Nothing. Leave me alone. Like, why are you nagging me? It's no big deal. And then I throw the phone on the floor, you know, like, I'm not doing anything bad. You know, like we're conditioned, right? Like, it might be something stupid like that. We're just like conditioned to be hidden. just get that for a moment. We're conditioned to be hidden. Like, we don't want to tell people our stuff. Like, that's the last thing we want to do. We don't want to walk in the light. We know we're bad. And what's going to happen if everybody figures out that we're bad? Like, it's so backwards to what Jesus has instituted and designed for us. He says, bring it into the light. He says, bring it into community. Like, bring it into the one who loves you and stop listening to the one who hates you. Like, it's crazy. I have three kids. I have three little boys. Love movies. Love cartoons. And I remember it was a couple years ago, a movie came out called Wreck-It Ralph. Has anybody ever seen Wreck-It Ralph? Like, the beginning of this movie is classic. Like, all these bad guys from all your favorite video games growing up, well, maybe if you're as old as I am, they're your favorite video games. All these guys are sitting in a circle like it's Alcoholics Anonymous, except it's Bad Guys Anonymous. And they're sitting there and like Wreck-It Ralph is like, I just don't want to be the bad guy anymore. We all know we're the bad guys in here. I just don't want to be the bad guy anymore. And everybody's like, whoa, like, you can't do that. You're the bad guy. Like, they even have this like saying at the end of each night. And it's like, I'm bad. And that's good. I'll never be good. And that's not bad. You know, and he's like, man, I want to be the good guy. I want to get a medal. I want a piece of pie. You know, and one of the bad guys looks at him and he's like, you can't change your programming, Ralph. You can't change your programming. And the sooner you figure that out, the better for you and the better for your game. And like in our context, the devil just accuses us. You can't change your programming. And the sooner you figure that out, yeah, the better for you and your game. You know, because the devil, like, our life is just a game, and he's trying to win by getting us to listen to him instead of listening to Jesus, instead of listening to the one who paid the price for our sin. And we do. We're conditioned to listen to that voice. And I love the way that God has instituted this system for when we do something wrong. If you want to turn, just it's actually, since 1 John is so small, you actually just have to look on the page before. 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 10. And this is what it says. This is the message that we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus his Son cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. You see, we've been conditioned by the world and the enemy of our souls, that we, when we even say that prayer and we ask for forgiveness, we're still bad. But God says something different. God says that he is faithful and just, and he will forgive our sins. You see, there's a system here that God has put in place, and this is what it's supposed to look like when we fully participate in this life, in this walking in the light life that God offers us. We sin. Okay, maybe just I sin, which leads to conviction. The Holy Spirit tells me, hey, look what you did, how you spoke, what you've engaged in, what action you've taken. You've missed the mark in your relationship with me. You've given over to the flesh, or you've given over to lawlessness. You've done this thing and it wasn't the right thing to do. And like, the Holy Spirit will speak to you and he'll convict you of that. And then you confess it. You're like, yeah, I did do that and I'm sorry. I don't want to be like that. I don't want to be that person. I don't want to engage in that behavior. I don't want to treat my children like that or my wife like that. Or I don't want to be someone that you didn't design me to be. And so we confess it, which leads to forgiveness. And that forgiveness is supposed to lead to gratitude and love and a deeper understanding of what it means to walk in the light. But often, we get to that point and it doesn't lead to gratitude. It leads to condemnation. It leads to more negativity. And this is one of, I think, the most powerful pictures that I could ever see for this, is where we've got that accuser pointing his finger at us, saying, "This is what you did. Like, I know you. You are never going to change. You're never going to be able to pull yourself out of this hole that you've dug for yourself. Look," and he even says, like, "Look, God, look at this guy. Like, he's a sinner. Like, he can never make up for what he's done." But here's the really cool thing about that. Is while all of that is true, Jesus steps in front of us and he says, "Hold on just one little second." And he looks at his father and he says, "You know what? I'm going to take that for Ryan. I'm going to stand in front of the accuser and I'm going to stand in front of my father and I'm going to say, this debt has been paid. What Ryan has done has been paid for. And God, you cannot take two payments for this. I already paid it." We have got to stop listening to the voice of the one who hates us and start listening to the voice of the one who loves us and says, "I paid your debt." That confession and that forgiveness should lead us to a point of gratitude for all that God has done. And then when he forgives us of that sin, like, he doesn't remember it anymore. But what does the devil love to do? Like, he loves to keep reminding us. "Remember that thing you did? Remember that thing you did? Remember that thing you are?" See, it no longer becomes the thing you did, it becomes the thing you are. And Jesus says, No, that is not who you are. I've paid for you. You're mine. You're my child. And I have given you my spirit to walk with you, to encourage you, to mold you, to shape you so that you can become everything that I redeemed you to be. And I am not going to leave you. I am not going to forsake you. The devil has been defeated. And yet we still let him grab our victory and pull it down into his defeat so often. The devil has been defeated. Like, that is such good news. Like, we can become all that Christ has designed and redeemed us to be. Man, forgiveness has come. Justice has reigned, and we can walk in the light. We can walk in the light. Man, we have an advocate, one who stands in on our behalf and speaks for us. Like, that is so cool that Jesus steps in front of us and says, "You don't get to talk anymore." And then he goes to his father, the one and the only one who could put us in our place. And he says, "No, you don't get to take another payment for Ryan. I've already paid it." Man, that's good. Condemnation has been taken the lives of Christians for far too long. Here's a couple of portions of scripture for you to put in your back pocket for when the devil comes after you and wants to remind you of who you think you might be. Romans 8:1 says, "Therefore," and that "therefore" before is that whole how the law couldn't fix us, how we couldn't keep the law close enough to ever make us perfect. "There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." 1 John 4:4, "Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." And quite possibly one of my favorite portions of scripture out of the message, from Colossians chapter 2, verses 11 through 15. "Entering into this fullness is not something you figure out or achieve." Just like, let that wash over you for a minute. Entering into this fullness, entering into this walking in the light relationship, is never going to be about head knowledge. It's not something you're ever going to achieve or be able to collect. It's not a matter of being circumcised or keeping a long list of laws. No, you're already in. Insiders. Not through some secret initiation rite, but rather through what Christ has already gone through for you. Destroying the power of sin. If it's an initiation ritual you're after, You've already been through it by submitting to baptism. Going under the water was a burial of your old life. Coming up out of it was a resurrection, God raising you from the dead as he did Christ. When you were stuck in your old sin dead life, you were incapable of responding to God. God brought you alive right along with Christ. Think of it. All sins forgiven, the slate wiped clean, that old arrest warrant canceled and nailed to Christ's cross. He stripped all the spiritual tyrants in the universe of their sham authority at the cross, and he marched them naked through the streets. Jesus came to destroy, to defeat, and disarm the work of the devil in your life. He came to set you free. He came to bring grace into this equation. He came to show you who you really are. You are loved and accepted tonight by God because of what Jesus has done. It's not anything that we could ever do. Just like the scripture says, it's something that we have been invited into. And I don't know, I don't presume to speak for you. It might not be an Instagram full of double cheeseburgers for you. It may be something deep and hurtful and serious and broken that the devil lobs in your face. I'm guessing that it is, because I know for me it's not just a cheeseburger. I just want to go home and stress eat. But I understand that there are deeper issues at play in our hearts. And I don't know what it is for you. I don't know how the devil lobs his accusations at you, but I know that tonight that we can come to this table of communion and we can remember who Jesus is and what he has done. We have an opportunity because while this table might be small, there's room for everyone around the table of Jesus Christ. There's no one who is excluded. I don't care what you've done or where you've gone or how far you think you've wandered away from the grace of Christ. There's nowhere you can go. There's nothing that you can do that's going to make him love you any less than the moment that he loved you when he was nailed to the cross. Jesus stands in front of you tonight and he says, "You're mine. That I have taken the payment for what you think you've done or what you have done, and I have fixed it. I have fixed your soul, and I'm giving you the opportunity to walk into the light one more time." Because I think all of us tonight probably need a little bit of a refresher on the grace of Jesus. We're never going to get to a place where we're so spiritual that we're bumping into the feet of Jesus, right? I'm pretty spiritual, you guys. We're co-journeyers. We're on this journey together. And, some of us may be further ahead than the others, but that's just experience. And Tim's just a little bit old. But none of us are more exceptional than anyone else. The same grace covers all of us. And tonight, I want us all to know that the accuser's voice and his finger has been taken away from him. And Jesus is going to reign on the throne of our lives. We were going to listen to a song before we do communion, because often we come to this idea of this communion table and we're just not worthy to drink it or eat it. And while that's true, it's not true. All of us in Jesus can come to this table.